Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
So welcome back, friends, as we turn to Proverbs chapter 3. If you've been following along, you'll notice that we have been really looking at what Solomon has done as he is unpacking what wisdom truly is, the challenges that we can overcome through it. But when we get to these two verses, we see something kind of different. It's a phrase that almost seems to be out of place, because Solomon in the opening part of chapter 3 has really talked about the blessings that come from having wisdom. And then he completely shifts to where he talks about wisdom in the creation. So if you're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, let's read verses 19 and 20 today, because that's where we're going to spend our time. It says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deep broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew." In our world today, you see that there is, for lack of a better phrase, an assault on the first couple of chapters in the Bible, where if you believe that God created the earth as the Bible indicates, then you're anti-science. Well, why? Where does that come from? Really, there are a couple of reasons, and we'll only focus in on three of them, but if there is no creator, then there is no authority over which or under which we are subject. It means we can go our own way and not really face any repercussions. But if there's no authority, then that also means that there is no standard by which we will be measured. If you stop and think about our world today, we love to look at others and go, "Well, I'm not as bad as that person." Well, it's because we're measuring against the wrong standard. If there is no creator, then there's no authority and there's no standard. And then thirdly, that means that there is no purpose that I have to fulfill. In other words, I can spend my life doing whatever I want, whenever I want, and I will never have to answer for that. But if there is a creator, then there is an authority, there is a standard, and we do have a purpose beyond ourselves. You know, if you stop and think about the way that a lot of these arguments are made, I am not going to stand here and dispute every single thing that is put out there about creation story that science will often call as fact when there are empirical holes within it. But stop and think about that. Scripturally, if you believe the Bible creation story, that is often used against you because stories can change, yet scientific fact does not. One of the things that we have taught our children is whenever we say, "Hey, we're going to look into the Bible to talk about whatever," we don't use the word story because that can be shifted later on. We talk about the biblical account, the historical account. So why does this matter? Why would Solomon tackle this? It just seems out of place. Well, if there's a blessing for wisdom, we need to look at wisdom's origin. Notice how this verse opens up. It says, "The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth." In other words, wisdom existed prior to the creation of the world. That means one of two things. Either God created wisdom, or God is wisdom. That seems to imply to us something very important about the source of wisdom, and if we're truly going to seek it, where we need to be going in order to find that wisdom. But let's stop here. So this is saying that the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the architect. He is the one who has the skill to make it happen. Where have you heard that before? If you go back to one of our earliest episodes as we started talking about the true meaning of the word wisdom in the Hebrew context, it's the skill of an artisan. Someone has the dexterity of their hands to be able to bring what they fashion in their mind into pass. So we see that that's what God does, because that's what God is. So as the creator, he sets the rules, he establishes truth, he knows how it all works, he knows exactly what we need when we need it. But why is that comforting? Well, if I'm going through a difficult time, that means that He knows how to get me through it. If you stop back and you go listen to the episode prior to this one where I shared how I struggled with the death of my mother, what was it that brought me comfort? It was God's Word. God knew what I needed, when I needed it, and He designed that for me. So God is the Creator, but let's break this verse apart. So notice how it starts. It says, the Lord. Anytime that you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in Scripture, we know that that references back to the proper name of God, Yahweh, which would be transliterated for us in English as Jehovah. So He is the self-existent God. He is the life giver. That means He is the one that existed outside of this world. He existed before this world. Anything that we cannot understand in our minds, well, that kind of fits God because He is incomprehensible. As I was teaching the teens about this on a Wednesday night, I told them, I said, you know, God is all-knowing. So that means that He has never had a new thought. Stop and think about that. God has never had a new thought because He knows it all. Sounds to me that if we need wisdom, that's where we need to go. Someone that never changes, someone that has never had a new thought. That would be the source that I want to go to. And oh, by the way, that's the one that created this earth. So it says, the Lord by wisdom founded. So it founded the earth. That means He created it. He put the foundation in place. He established it. It's His design. It's His materials. It's His plan. It's His workmanship. And He is the one that sustains it. Now, one of the things that often comes to bear in that is if God truly created all the earth and He sustains it, then why is everything going to pieces? Well, I always use this example. If a builder designs a house like the one that I live in, and he builds it, it's his craftsmanship, yet someone stands outside with a jackhammer and continues to pound away at the brick, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be some structural damage. Is that the fault of the one that designed it and built it? No. We love to blame God for things that go wrong, but we take credit for the things that go right. And really, it should be inverted. We should take the blame for things that are going wrong and give God the credit for everything that is right. Why? Because He founded the earth by wisdom. If you continue reading through here, you'll see where Solomon goes, you know, by understanding and by knowledge, there's additional work that is done. You know, the understanding and the knowledge here, it's skill. It's perception and the ability. So we see that that is expanded even further. It's not just that He has the skill to be able to do it, but there's the reason. There's the thought behind it. And what is neat here is this word for understanding has an educational context, and I really identified with this because my career has been in education. And it's the aspect that it's personified in a teacher. If I don't understand how to do this crazy mathematical equation, I'm going to go to the teacher who knows it, who's been there, who's wrestled with it, who created that problem for me to work on, and get them to help me work it out. When we struggle, when we have difficulties in our life, that is a perfect image of what we need to do. We need to go to the teacher, the wise one, and that's God. But notice this last piece that we're going to talk about before we really shift into our application. It says, by His knowledge, the deeps broke open. That Hebrew phrase, broke open, you can find that in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11 in the flood account of how the deep, the fountains broke open and waters came out for the earth to be flooded. We can see that in Exodus chapter 14, where the Red Sea was parted so that Moses and the children of Israel could cross safely to the other side. We see that in Numbers chapter 16, where the sons of Korah, who blasphemed God, who questioned Moses' authority, God opened up the earth, swallowed them, and then closed the earth back together. So why is that important? Well, because God founded the earth by wisdom. God has the earth operating, moving forward by His wisdom and His power. These instances are supernatural. They go beyond what we normally observe taking place. And why does that matter? Because again, it shows that God alone has the wisdom, the authority, and the power to be able to take His creation and mold it to do things that He needs for us to learn. I can take you to an example of a pretty bad accident that I was in. I firmly believe that God had me go through that to teach me a lot of things. It actually changed my life. We can't question the wisdom of the one who has never had a new thought. When we start questioning the one who has never had a new thought and questioning His wisdom and His design, it shows an arrogance that is beyond our human comprehension. And I use this example. When we tell one of our kids to do something and they then question it, what happens? We kind of get a little bit of an attitude. It's like, you know, you just do this because I told you to. I know what's right. But the kids want to argue. We do the same thing to God. And yet we don't see that through that lens. How do we get to that worldview? Well, we have to go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we look through everything with this attitude of awe at who He is, that will translate into action of our life, that we adore Him, that we glorify Him. This is the aspect of why understanding that the Lord created the world by wisdom is important. You know, Barnes in his commentary, I love the way that he said this. He said, the creative acts imply a divine wisdom through which the divine will acts. And if you think about it, what is that divine wisdom? The divine wisdom is that His Son will be glorified. We see in the New Testament very clearly that it says that one day, at the name of Jesus, every, not some, not a few, every knee will bow. That day is coming, and everything that has happened throughout the history of the earth is headed to that moment. But we also see that God, because of His creation in using wisdom, is the foundation of wisdom, and that's something from which we can benefit. You know, if you stop and think about it, we alluded to this earlier, that wisdom was used to create. Wisdom existed before creation. God existed before creation. So either God is wisdom, or God created wisdom. And you can argue either side. But God is the source. And this is the important part here. You know, if God is wisdom, then if we want wisdom, where do we need to go to get it? To Him. And that goes right back to Solomon's thesis in chapter 1 and verse 7, where he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it all starts. We either humble our hearts to seek wisdom through Him, or we have hubris in our hearts and seek it from anywhere else, and it will never satisfy the longing of our soul. As we look at this and prepare to close, Romans chapter 1 is a classic section that is often used, where in verse 20, you know, God is perceived as the creator of the world, but He's rejected. And then Paul goes on in that chapter to say that fools know because of everything that we see, but they reject. They choose not to apply. And again, think of it this way. We see an amazing sunset, or we go to the Grand Canyon and just stand there in hushed awe at the beauty of the natural world. And to think that it just happened by accident, we can't prove it. I have a grandfather clock in my house that was built by my grandfather and my dad. They did not just take lumber that had not been cut. They did not take metal parts that had not been fashioned, throw them together in a room, and 6 months later, this immaculate grandfather clock comes out. No. There was effort. There was shaping. There was work behind it. The same is true of our world today. We either believe that because we know that there is a creator, or we refuse it because we believe that we are the most wise component in the universe. One is right, one is wrong. One leads to an eternity of peace, one does not. So the question that I put to you is, are you wise? You're thinking, well, wise according to the world, then you're not wise. Because wisdom is not of this world. So let's close with four direct applications for our lives. Number one, if there is no wisdom, there can be no peace. So think about that. If we do not have the wisdom that comes from God, then we can't be at peace. In the New Testament, what do we see that the Apostle Paul tells us? The peace of God passes all understanding. When we should just be a train wreck because of things that are taking place in our life, God's wisdom can give us peace. Where does that come from? It comes from God. It comes from the source of wisdom. It comes from the one that designed, planned, created, and sustains this world. That is an important point that Solomon is hammering home as he is talking about all of this wisdom. The creation is important in understanding this. Because if we don't think that God created the world, then we will not attribute wisdom to God, and then that undoes everything. Secondly, if you know wisdom, and when I say know, it's K-N-O-W, if you know wisdom, then you will know the way, the truth, and the life. Clearly, that is going back to John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying that he is that because he is God. And why does that matter? Because God used wisdom to create the world. He is the way. He is the one that created the path that we are on. We broke the relationship with him, yet he sent his son to reconcile that relationship. He is the way. He, as the creator, as the source of wisdom, is the only one that can give us truth. He is the lawgiver and the truth giver. But since he created the way, since he is the one that sets the standard of truth, he alone is the one that can give us a life of true satisfaction. That is what Solomon is getting to here. Because it's by wisdom he founded the earth, he established the heavens, he broke open the deep, and he drops down the dew. That aspect of regular refreshment that he provides his creation, we are his creation, he will provide the same to us. Number three, we should not seek wisdom from those on the earth. In our world today, people are quick to turn to actors, athletes, rich people, accomplished business individuals to say, just tell us, give us your wisdom. Tell us what we need to do. But again, they are offering wisdom of this world. But true wisdom comes from the one that created this world. We are looking for long-term solutions through short-term advisors, and that's a problem. We have to look to God for wisdom. And again, it goes back to what we talked about it before. That means we have to recognize that we are not the sole authority of our life. We have to recognize that we do not set the standards for our lives, and that we also have to recognize that we have a purpose for which we were created, and that's where we need to devote our lives. Fourthly, and finally, it's a simple question. Who am I? Question God. I am the created, not the creator. I have limited wisdom and knowledge, not unlimited wisdom and knowledge. My strength is wisdom, and quite frankly, as I'm getting older, my strength is waning. It's going away. God's strength has never changed throughout his entire existence. I have a short time that I am here on earth. God has always been. Who am I to turn around and question him? It's an aspect of trust. I either trust in myself or I trust in God. And if you look at the turmoil that is existing in our world today, where people want peace, where people want justice, where people want fairness and equality and righteousness, where they want what they want, but they can never find it within themselves, nor can they find it within ways of the earth. It is when we turn to God, when we bow that knee, when we humble our hearts and say, you are the one that I need to live my life for. Give me the wisdom that I need. I trust your plan for my life. I know that I have made a mess of my life, and you alone love me enough to send your son to die on that cross. You are who I need to turn to. That's what Solomon is hammering home here. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but in verse 21, Solomon turns back to this paternalistic aspect of speaking to his son and goes, "My son, do not lose sight of these." Lose sight of what? He is going to go through a list of things that his son needs to remember. But the foundation of every single thing that he is about to give his son goes back to verses 19 and 20, that God created the earth by wisdom. He's making the implication that God is wisdom. God is the source of wisdom. So you, my son, whom I love, who I'm trying to teach and prepare for the future, do not turn away from these things. That's why we have these two verses that seem to be out of place. They're not. There is a blessing from wisdom. There is wisdom at creation, and that really tells us who God is. And it opens our eyes to who we are compared to Him. And that is a deciding moment. What do we do there determines what will happen with our future. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.